more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can.
And good morning, This is your host, Dr. Terry Mason, the show, The Doctor in the House, and it's heard right here on AM 1690 WVON for the last 30 years. Proud to be able to say that. And we want you to enjoy the show, but more importantly, we want you to participate. I have a wonderful, wonderful guest for us to talk with this morning. She is a she's a board-certified professional. Almost called her a surgeon. I'm so used to being talking to surgeons myself. But Dr. Wells, she's an assistant professor in clinical family medicine in the Department of Family Medicine, Family and Community Medicine at the University of Illinois. And she is going to have a wonderful, wonderful conversation because she does a lot of things in lifestyle medicine and things of that nature. And I want her to really, I'm going to take all the time we can to talk with Dr. this morning, Dr. Wells this morning, because there's so much, and she's got some things she wants to talk about, community medicine, lifestyle medicine, and what she's doing really, really right over at the Miles Square Health Center. So without any further ado, let me bring on Dr. Wells. Good morning, Dr. Wells. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Dr. Mason?
Good. And how are you feeling this morning? I want you to let us know what we're going to, because you got a great topic we're going to be talking about, and lifestyle medicine. And can you talk, what does that mean now? I never heard that before, but what does lifestyle medicine mean?
Lifestyle medicine is an approach to understanding the lifestyle factors that contribute to the onsets and the progression of disease. And so many times we forget about the different factors like diet and exercise and stress and sleep and social connections and how all those things in our environment interplay into how disease develops. And so lifestyle medicine seeks to address those factors in the prevention and the management of disease.
Now, how do you work that in with the traditional medical model? Tell us about how these things get woven into the fabric of the kinds of things that you see in the clinic on a daily basis.
Now, it's not always easy. I will admit to that. But it is incorporation of a lot of education with patients and providing patients a lot of resources. And a lot of it is relationships with patients, understanding what patients' lives are like at home and what people are encountering in their neighborhoods, in their families, in their communities, and how all of these factors contribute to the diseases that they are dealing with.
So how did you get into this? How were you able to find a program that you could actually do this and get training and credit for it? How did that all happen?
You know, I was always interested in these lifestyle factors. And because I work with communities that are impacted by these lifestyle diseases like diabetes and hypertension, and I was seeing that no matter how many meds I would give my patients, and how well their A1C was controlled, if we weren't really digging deep into these lifestyle factors, we weren't able to be able to reverse the complications that was resulting from these disease processes, because we weren't getting at the root cause. And so that led me to be interested in getting and looking at those deeper root causes of disease. And I got my MPH in nutrition and wellness, and that just continued to spiral me to look for other programs. And then I got board certified with the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, who has a board certification process.
Now, what these are things that are important to us, and we understand them, because we talk, this is kind of shop all the time for us. So for those who don't do that, let's unpack what you just said in terms of the Board of Lifestyle Medicine and things of that nature. So let's explain that just a bit for our audience.
So the American College of Lifestyle Medicine is an organization that has developed these six pillars that address those lifestyle factors of disease that I mentioned earlier, the diet, exercise, sleep, social connections, stress management, avoidance of risky substances. And so because that is their focus, they have created a pathway for physicians and other health professionals to be able to become experts within these areas. And board certification basically just says that, hey, I've gone through enough education that I can be classified as an expert within this area of medicine.
So how does this impact the kinds of things that you do and see on a daily basis at Mouse Square?
I think it impacts it in a great way, because we know that people of color, especially people who are from Black or Hispanic communities, have higher rates of chronic diseases such as diabetes and hypertension. And not only do they have higher rates of diabetes, but also they have also higher rates of complications related to those same diseases. And because I see these patients on a daily basis, it has been impactful in allowing me to be able to talk to patients about, hey, you don't have to get diabetes. This is how we can prevent diabetes. And also that you don't have to live with diabetes if you have it. There are some people who may be able to reverse it. Not all people, but some people. And then there are some people who may not be able to reverse it, but then they can better manage their diabetes or reduce the medications that they're taking. And so it's been a great opportunity to be able to educate patients in areas where they may have not been taught to before, that there are factors that can help them to better manage their disease processes.
Let's take a mom with a couple of children who is a type 2 diabetic, and maybe she's employed, maybe she isn't, maybe she's got assistance with the child care and other things, or maybe she's working, maybe she isn't. How do you manage some of those factors as it relates to getting people to take the time to understand the role that they can then play in their disease?
So I think that's a very good question. And I think it's really understanding that a part of this is taking it slow. And not asking, I wouldn't ask that mom to make all these changes at once, but looking at and understanding what might be some feasible changes that she could make, not only for herself, but for her family as well, because that's important key, is making sure that families are adopting lifestyle changes, because that makes it much easier versus individuals having to do it alone. But things that I might suggest would be first thinking about and asking her, what is she feeding her family on a regular basis? And for instance, we know that the standard American diet has a lot of processed foods. And so trying to figure out, well, how can we limit some of those processed foods and replace them with things more like fruits and vegetables? And also talking to and seeing how could she incorporate maybe more beans into her regimen, and understanding the availability within her community of, like, if you have, there's a lot of issues in terms of like food apartheid and lack of nutritious foods in neighborhoods. So how can we look at what's available within the local community and looking at those resources and say, okay, well, can you incorporate more beans? And not only that, for people, the things that I find is that some people say, well, I'm not used to that. And I don't, how's that going to taste? And thinking about, well, how do we take what you're already eating and help you to be able to cook it in a more healthy way and be able to still have that flavor. So really looking at those different aspects, thinking about exercise and how we can, you know, what's her day like? Can I get her, is her neighborhood safe for her to exercise? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Can she exercise within her home if it's not safe for her to exercise outdoors? How do I just get her to add little bouts of physical activity throughout the day? So those are some of the things that I would start with.
And how is that received? Do some of the parents feel overwhelmed with just the activities of daily living and work and just getting kids to and from school, if that's the issue? Tell us a bit about how does that play in what you do and how you have to modify how you counsel them.
Yeah, I think that for everyone, we like convenience. And so really trying to think about, well, how do I, now you're telling me that I have to prepare more meals versus being able to stop at a fast food restaurant on the way home. Well, one thing I can say, well, do you have a crock pot? You know, can you put the beans in there while you're helping your kids with their homework and let the beans cook for hours while you're doing other activities, or cook overnight while you're sleeping? And so I really try to think about ways to be able to give patients tips, because it isn't always easy. We do have very busy lifestyles. And I also try to think about, you know, as a physician, having a busy lifestyle too, in ways that I've been able to try to think about, okay, how do I fit this in? Because it isn't always easy. And so as I've learned how to make those changes for myself, then I'm able to give those tips to patients of this is how you can make it easier for you, and how you can cook and maybe do batch cooking. So you have if you have a few hours one day during the week, then you can cook a large amount. And then maybe you can freeze part of that and in small batches. And that way you can just pull it out in those small batches and have your meal already prepared for that day, so that you don't have to cook every day, which can be very daunting as well.
Well, this is amazing, because, and we're going to invite our callers to ask questions as well. You can always give us a call here at 773-591-1690 so you can speak directly with Dr. Wells. This is an amazing program. Now, is this something that is open to the general public, or how, if someone's interested in what you're talking about, wants to follow up, what would they do?
I think part of it is finding a health practitioner who is educated in lifestyle medicine and can guide you down that road. That's probably the easiest way to do that. You can also contact me, and I can try to direct you to different resources as well. I also wanted to ask.
Why don't we give them that contact? Why don't we give them some the contact information, your office number, at least what they can call and feel that there's a way for them to make a connection?
Yeah, so at the Miles Square Health Center, the office number is 312-996-2000. And you can also email me. Again, that number is 312-996-2000. And that's for the Miles Square Health Center. And you can also email me at C as in cat, W E as in elephant, L L S as in Sam, the number 2@UIC.edu.
We'll give that another couple of times because people probably didn't have their pens just yet. So we'll make sure that we give them this information. Now, your clinic is located exactly where? Let's give that information again.
So my clinic is located mainly at 4747 West Cermak Road in Cicero, Illinois. Again, that's 4747 West Cermak Road in Cicero, Illinois. I also have some clinic at the Miles Square Clinic on, because Miles Square has multiple different locations. I've worked at multiple ones of those. The other location that I'm currently at is the 1220 Wood Street in Chicago location.
What's that address on Wood Street?
1220 South Wood Street.
1220 South Wood Street?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is fascinating because it's not the kind of thing. Obviously, when I was in practice, I tried to begin to do this very, very thing, even incorporating it, building a facility where we had exercise physiologists and everything else. But in addition to that, we had vegan chefs that cooked for our participants. So can you say, how can this make a difference in someone's diabetes if they choose this approach, this lifestyle approach? And does it mean that they don't have to take medicine anymore, or is it all a function of how compliant they are?
Yeah, and I think that's the key. I think that it depends on how intensive people adopt these lifestyle changes, but it's also dependent on how long people have also had diabetes. And sometimes because you've had diabetes for a long time, that in the impact that it's had on the body may make it a little bit more challenging to come off all medications. But I'll give a quick case example of a patient that I had. I had a patient who came into the clinic, and this patient was just basically coming in for a checkup. And as usual with all my patients who are coming up for a checkup, I do the standard labs that we need to do, and I check this patient, check them for diabetes. And come to find out that this patient had diabetes. And so I invited the patient to come to a follow-up visit, and I told them, I said, you have diabetes. Their A1C was 8.3, and if you're not familiar, A1C is a test that we use that tells us how well blood sugars have been controlled over the last 3 months, and it allows us to be able to not only track progression of diabetes, but be able to diagnose diabetes. So this patient, again, anytime an A1C is 6.5 or greater, that's a diagnosis of diabetes. And so this patient came in and had an A1C of 8.3, so had a diagnosis of diabetes. And so I told the patient, I'm going to give you this metformin, which is the standard medication that I would start with. And I'm also going to tell you about lifestyle changes. And so I told the patient that I encouraged him to eat more beans, but be sure that he incorporated beans without adding animal fat to his beans. I taught him about how to make his beans flavorful. I taught him about eating more intact whole grains like brown rice and quinoa. I taught him about eating more fruits and vegetables. I taught him about making sure he was sleeping and managing his stress and also exercising on a regular basis. And so I told him to do all those things and said, come back and see me in a few weeks. Now, he didn't come back and see me in a few weeks, but ended up coming back to see me 3 months later. And so I said, okay, well, how things going? How's the metformin going? And he told me I didn't take the metformin. And I started incorporating the lifestyle changes, making changes to my diet and exercise. And I said, okay, well, let me see what your A1C is today. And so I checked his A1C, and it had gone from an 8.3 to a 5.9 in a matter of 3 months. And so he had essentially reversed his diabetes. And so he was a very, very good case. But he really went all in and did everything. He was very motivated and had a lot of support at home. And not everybody can do that. But even in my other patients who are able to incorporate some changes, I have been able to at least decrease the number of medications that they're taking or get some of them off of insulin and just have them feeling better in general and not feeling as sick and feeling like they have better control over their diabetes.
You listen to Dr. Mason and the doctor in the house, and we're having a great conversation with Dr. Christina Wells, and we've been talking about lifestyle management for chronic conditions like diabetes and things of that nature. So if you want to join the conversation, give us a call here at 773-591-1690. That's 773-591-1690. There's more. So let's go to the phones and take a call. A caller, you're on the air with your question. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Forgive me. Thank you, Dr. Mason, for all that you do. And Dr. is aware. Doctor, thank you. Thank you for being there and providing the information. A simple question. In fact, I have called the president's line regarding jobs and the fact that in every area you can have young people or family members, maybe consider them as ambassadors that can come in, get paid while helping to be that supportive person within the family. Is that possible? That's something that your agency can consider or follow up on. Maybe there could be some way, again, it involved jobs. And therefore, that person, that mother or the senior citizen would get help as well. Thank you for accepting my call.
You're welcome, and thank you for the call. Dr. Wells.
Yeah, I think having that would be definitely beneficial. I agree that one of the things I would say that would having that support is important for families. My organization isn't involved in those types of initiatives, but I do agree that having more of that support would be helpful.
Well, this is very, very, I'm so grateful that the caller did call with that question because it just shows that there are people, but they may need assistance, as you've already indicated. Let's go on to our next caller. Carly, you're on there with your question. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Mason.
Good morning.
Can you? Yes, sir. Good morning, young lady. Thanks for the topic. When you were just explaining your patient, it kind of reminded me of me. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes some years ago, and, you know, it scared me to death. And, you know, I'm scared of medicine as well. So, you know, he sent me home with the metformin prescription. I took it. And I had his cell phone number. I called him. I was having, like, side effects. So I said, I'm going to do this without medicine. I got my numbers all the way down, and I kind of know how to do it. But now that I know how I can kind of reverse it. I kind of cheat occasionally, and my numbers get back up, which ain't good because sometimes, you know, the window will close, and so I'm getting older. But my thing was this, you know, I mean, the lifestyle changes, you know, the diet changes and all the other changes. But I'm a black male. I'm working a professional setting, man, I'm not racist, but white people create a lot of different type of stress for me at work. You know, working in an environment where you're like the only black male, you know, it's like you got to be extra careful. And that's just, it's stressful because I have a teenage child that I have to provide for. So quitting ain't an option. And so I just got to deal with that. Man, that stress is almost more stressful than a lot of the other things that you label as stress. But, you know, and it triggers all the other things like eating cookies, you know, and just, you know, being that, you know, got a white female supervisor that, you know, I call it the Willie Lynch plan where they'll, you know, accuse a black man. And then even though 40 years later, they might find out he didn't do it. But in the meantime, he got to go through all. So it's just real stressful when it's triggering my diabetes. You know, I'm eating the wrong things again, but I can't walk away. And I'm just wondering if that's something that you've, I can relate to or you've heard of, but if other black men are going through it. And I guess it's also calling out for black men to become more entrepreneurial thinkers, you know, where we can work for ourselves and we can eliminate all that. But I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for the call. Great call, Dr. Wells.
Yeah, I think that you, again, bringing up another good point. Stress is definitely real. And we all experience stressors in very different ways. And racism is also real. And so I think that there are people who are experiencing different types of stress and on different levels and magnitudes. And so I think recognizing the stressors that we are faced with, and also having outlets whereby we can manage our stressors in positive ways. Because sometimes, unfortunately, we can't eliminate the stress. But what we can do is manage our response to the stressors. And we can do as much as we can to ensure that we are treated equitably. Again, though, I would say, though, the key would be managing our individual responses to stressors. And so things that I would suggest is having an outlet for positive ways to manage stress, such as exercise. Exercise is really good for helping to manage stress, and it also can help to manage diabetes as well. And then also it may be sometimes our stressors are things that we can't manage alone. And so sometimes we have to incorporate other people that can help us, whether that be on the job, whether that be human resources or other entities, or also whether that be community resources and having communities, those community and social connections that can also help us to manage our stressors. And at times, it also may include having a health practitioner who can also help us manage stressors in positive ways.
Well, these are great questions, and I want to, there are other questions out there. I don't want folks to wait to the end of the show and try and call in to get their questions. So we invite you to call in now, 773-591-1690. All right, let's go back to the phones. Caller, you're on the air with your question. Go right ahead.
Hello, am I on the air?
You are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Mason. I love you so much, and I am so glad that you're bringing this to WVON. My name is Carmen from Elmwood Park, and I have been in the background listening to you and Dr. Christina, which I'm loving that she's on here for women that with diabetes. And how do they carry on? I mean, you know, when you go to the doctor and...
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
And my question is, when the doctor said, oh, you know what? You're at a diabetic diabetes too. But, you know, you're okay. Come back in a couple of, you know, months or a year later. What? How do you answer with that? You know, well, how do you try to deal with that? You know, I believe I do eat healthy. I cut down on my sugars quite a bit. And what I do, I have my 27-year-old daughter do as well. We take our supplements. I'm still working. And, you know, when someone tells you that, you know, you're not quite over the border, but you're over the border. You're a little bit, but not quite. When they tell you this, you go home and you go like, what? What is that all about?
Well, let's Dr. Wells respond a bit.
Thank you.
So it sounds like you may be mentioning, and thank you for your question, sounds like you may be mentioning something called prediabetes, which is that window where you are at risk for acquiring diabetes, but not at the clinical diagnosis of diabetes. The thing that you have to be thinking about, even in that pre-diabetes window, is that there are still complications that people who have pre-diabetes could experience, from similar complications to patients who also have diabetes. So I think even when the doctor may say, hey, come back in a year, it's really important to get out of that pre-diabetes window and work on those lifestyle modifications to not only prevent the diabetes, but also to get out of the pre-diabetes window. So I think that's important as well to do.
Now, what does that mean, to get out of that pre-diabetes window, and how can she be assisted to do that?
And so that pre-diabetes window, if we go back to what I was talking about with the A1C before, that pre-diabetes window is when they're measuring your A1C, and your A1C may be between 5.7 and 6.4, or they may have measured like a fasting blood glucose, and that level is elevated as well. And so what you want to do in that sense is the same thing as what I told my patient who had diabetes. You want to be thinking about, how do I make some lifestyle changes? And one of the things that one of the misconceptions about diabetes is that diabetes is a sugar disease. But diabetes is actually, what we've learned in the research lately, is that it's a fat disease. And so actually the more fat that we have in our diets, the more likely we are to have increased risk for diabetes and prediabetes. So one of the things I try to encourage patients is to actually focus on eating healthy carbohydrates, or sugars, as what we would call them. And so I encourage them to eat those fruits, because those fruits have something called fiber, which really helps. If you've ever heard about fiber, fiber is really important for helping to prevent diabetes, prediabetes. And so fiber is really, really important. So I encourage patients to eat more fiber to try to minimize the fat in their diet, especially animal fats, which have a lot of saturated fats in them. And so those are areas that I really, really try to encourage patients to work on. And also, I wanted to include this before I forget it, because I know that this is also a conversation about cancer as well, but having diabetes increases risk for things like colon cancer, pancreatic, and other cancers. So it's real important to think about how preventing or better managing diabetes not only helps to prevent and reverse that disease process, but it also helps to prevent other diseases like cancer.
Mm. The other thing I'd like to also ask you to comment on, Dr. Wells, is, you know, a lot of people don't understand the role that you just talked about in terms of fiber. And you want to give some a list or categories of foods that are very rich in fiber as opposed to those that are not?
Yes, so fiber is like my favorite thing to talk about. I wish we had hours and hours to talk about it, but foods that are high in fiber would be fruits, and so vegetables, also beans. Beans have tons and tons of fiber in them, and so not only these foods help us to feel full longer, they help us to manage our weight, they make sugars digested more slowly, so our sugar levels don't rise in the blood as fast. And so those fruits, vegetables, beans are really big sources of fiber, whereas things such as like cake, highly processed foods like donuts, and those types of sugars have no fiber. And so because those types of foods have no fiber, when you eat them, they will make your sugars rise very fast. But because the sugar in fruit is bound to fiber, when you eat those two things together, it stabilizes your blood sugars. And so it's actually very, very helpful for people with diabetes, people at risk for diabetes. So eat those fruits, those vegetables, and beans. They're very, very good sources of fiber.
And let's talk about the difference between the fruit itself and the fruit juices, or even worse, the concentrates that we see.
Yeah, that's a very good question, because so when you take a whole food, so that's why it's important to eat whole food, because that's where you're going to get all of your nutrients. So it's better to eat an apple versus drinking apple juice. What happens when you take a fruit and you juice it is that you take the fiber out of it. And so when you take the fiber out of it, then you're going to have less benefits. And so you're going to have concentrated sugar without the fiber. And so when you drink juice, it's going to make your sugars rise. And it's also going to be calorically dense, meaning you're going to get lots more calories, which is also going to make you gain weight. And so it's real important that we eat whole foods and not eat drink juices, which are going to have more concentrated sugars without that fiber component.
Yeah, I think that people forget that that point is a key point. And the things you mentioned about the fiber, that's why the beans and the greens and things of that nature are so important to what you're suggesting. Is that right, Doctor?
Yeah, it really, really is important, because not only do those foods have, again, as we talk about whole foods, not only do they have these great macronutrients, what we call them, like the fiber in them, but they have other minerals and vitamins that are really, really beneficial. So eating whole foods and not eating processed foods, right? Think of processed foods as sort of like foods that are manufactured versus foods that are naturally grown and naturally exist and naturally have all of those nutrients in them that are going to sustain us and help us to have good health.
Let's give people your contact information or how they can reach your clinic for those who are sitting here listening like, I need to have a doctor like her. How can they, let's give them a number or a way for them to make that contact.
So the number to the clinic is 312-996-2000. Again, that number is 312-996-2000. And my email is C as in cat, W E as in elephant, L, the letter S as in Sam, the number 2@UIC.edu.
And we want you to use these resources, because the first step that you want to take towards your health is that you have to want to do it. Because if you really don't want to do it, you won't. So for those who really want to do it, not just give lip service to it, but really want to do it, who are going to take a solid step in that direction, make a call. because it's your life. It's your health. Nobody is going to fix that for you. Nobody has the responsibility of your health but you. And you can't blame anybody else for you not being healthy if you're not doing anything to do anything about it yourself. So, again, our time is running down, but I'm going to put the number out again, 773-591-1690, for those who wish to get in to speak with Dr. Wells. Dr. Wells, this is so important. How did you get started on this path?
Yeah, I think that I myself was diagnosed with a genetic kidney disorder and had always grown up learning about health within my church. And then I just decided that I was used to eating all those processed foods and eating out all the time. And I just wanted to have a healthier lifestyle. And as I saw the benefits for myself, and then being, again, a physician, I wanted to be able to give those benefits to patients. And I not only saw that lifestyle was not only beneficial for some diseases like diabetes and hypertension, but it was also beneficial for helping to prevent cancer and other diseases. And so it was just really important for me to be able to help people to understand that they can be empowered and that they don't have to succumb to disease and that there are things that they can do to have an improved quality of life.
Well, you know, that has been the mantra that I've been singing on this show for a long, long time. And for me, it comes down to a person asking one serious fundamental question. And without getting scriptural or anything, the question is, do you want to be well? Do you really want to be well? And you just can't say an empty yes to that. What it means is that if you really want to be well, you have to make a change. Nobody can make this change for you. This is something you have to want to do because nobody's going to do it for you, and no one should. But hopefully you can begin to do and pull together the resources that you need for yourself to make the changes that Dr. Wells is talking about. Because all the changes they're talking about are back at the food. And I know everybody's pressured for time and things of that nature. But one of the things you heard her talk to Dr. Wells talk about was beans. I grew up like many folks where you had a bunch of kids like we had in our family. There was always a pot on our stove at home. My mother always had beans of some sort. And that was the rice. That rice was our sort of the staple. Meat was the side. So, Doctor, in the last few moments that we have, can we talk about just a bit these things about the fallacies, maybe that beans, they make you gassy and they're bad, or you're better off eating off more pork chops and things of that nature. Can we talk about that just for a few minutes before we leave?
Yeah, I think part of the reason why we find that it's challenging for us to eat beans is because we're not eating them. And so because we have started to eat more highly processed foods and we're not eating those foods that, like you said, we should be or that we were used to eating, that our grandparents ate, our the environment in our stomach has changed, in our stomach and our intestines. And without getting too technical, it's called a microbiome, but that's the only technical term I'll use here. But there are these organisms that live within our gut and in our intestines. And because we've been eating so much processed foods, we've changed our internal environment. And so it can no longer process those beans. And so that's why when we eat them, we feel like we have so much gas and so much issues. However, the more that you eat beans, the better it's going to be. And I will say that when I first started eating beans, because I wasn't eating them, I had a whole bunch of issues. I was constipated, had the gas. But as I started to gradually incorporate them into my diet on a regular basis, I can tolerate them now without problems. Now, sometimes people may need to do a few other things to help them digest beans a little bit better. But part of it is really changing our internal gut environment back to what it wants to be. And not only, again, will changing it help prevent diabetes, but changing our gut environment also helps prevent things like colon cancer. So it's real important that we really try to get our gut back to the way that they were designed to be. And eating more fiber on a regular basis, eating more beans will help that and will help to minimize those symptoms that we experience that aren't so great.
All right, let's go. I'm going to try. We can't get the ball in the next 5 minutes, but we'll do our best. So, caller, go right ahead with your call. Let's be brief so we can get as many people in as possible. Go right ahead. You're on the air with your question. Caller, you're in the air. Yes, go right ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
What's the best? Yes, can you tell me what are the best beans to eat? Best beans to eat?
All Doctor. Beans. Any beans you like.
And the reason you want the ones you like, because that's what you'll eat. Next caller, let's go ahead with our next caller.
Hello, yes, good morning. I would like to ask about oatmeal and bananas in the morning for breakfast.
Doctor, go right ahead.
Absolutely a fine breakfast. Tons of fiber with that, so that would be definitely okay.
And if you're not lactose intolerant. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, then I would say you can put a plant-based milk in your oatmeal or use water.
All right. Let's go to our next question. Caller, you're on the air with your question. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Doctor. Am I on air?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Dr. Mason, this is Ed Tibbler. I used to be one of your patients.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, brother. Ed.
I'm sorry.
Sir?
Yes.
What did you say? I missed it.
And I used to be a patient of yours.
Yes, sir. What's your question, Brother Ed? Because we're out of time just about.
I'd like you to refer me to another doctor since you don't practice anymore.
I don't. All the people I knew are retired. And unfortunately, some have passed on. So, so I don't have a referral except that I would say I would start with Dr. Wells.
Okay.
And I see not a urologist, but the urologists are still there. So if you still want to see urologists, they're Dr. Dickey and Dr. They're still there. But but in terms of an internist, I would say see if you could see Dr. Wells. Dr. Wells, that's a shameless plug, but it's the truth. I would see you myself.
I have a number. Thank you.
All right. Next caller, you're on there. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I called for another reason, but you keep talking about beans. I was wondering if the vegetarian canned beans, are they okay, or do you have to just make them from scratch?
Go ahead, Dr. Wells.
The vegetarian canned beans are okay. I would just make sure that they don't have any sodium added. You have to watch the sodium in canned beans. But if that's what you can do, go ahead.
And I want to say this, too. For the guy that called in earlier, sometimes if you get stressed out, you eat the worst foods. Do something smart. If you're at work and you're dealing with racism, go to Human Resources before you get fired. I had to deal with that. You know, it'll make you eat the worst foods in the world. Go to Human Resources, get things on paper. You know, black people don't want to really, you know, say too much. You know, because we just try to work and go home. You know, then you take your anger out on your children, your wife, whatever. You know, go to Human Resources, stop putting stuff on paper. Maybe you can sue the company. Thank you.
Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate that. Go ahead with the next caller. You're on the air. Go with your question. Go right ahead.
Hello?
You're on the air. Go right ahead. Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Quick question. I was diagnosed pre-diabetic, and I've been noticing I've got these scrapes. I'm brown skin. And I've got these blotches when I shave. I read where that could be caused to the prediabetes. Is that the case?
I think it's hard to say over the phone, but I definitely would have you talk with your practitioner so they can eyeball it and see what that might be.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Black beans tend to have less of a problem in terms of digestion and passing gas, is one thing. And then a question about the diabetes, is fat based and not sugar based? Can you elaborate?
I don't know if I have enough time, but what happens is that the fat enters the liver and the skeletal muscle. And what it does is it blocks insulin's action. And so that insulin cannot work well. And so fat is what causes insulin resistance, which is what is the underlying disease process that is occurring in diabetes. And so, yes, the sugar rises, but it's not because of the sugar. It's because the fat is blocking the sugar from entering the cell. And so it's really the fat that is causing that insulin resistance. And the other thing I would say is soaking beans overnight also helps with the gas as well.
I want to thank everybody for the call. We are out of time. Dr. Wells, this just means you have to come back again. We got to set it up for you to come back because we got a lot of people that need to ask more questions, and unfortunately we're out of time. I want to thank you, Dr. Wells, and the University of Illinois Cancer Center for making this possible. We'll get you back on again for sure, and then we'll do some other stuff together. But we want to thank all of our callers, all of our listeners, and you, importantly. And so until next week at the same time and station, may God continue to bless each and every one of you with continued health and strength as I leave you now in peace.
I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time.